If you want to fight, fight with me. One to one. Man to man.
5, 4, 3, 2.
He said all in. Yeah. He did jam. And he gets a snap call.
Oh, wow.
This could be it right here.
The Mac Attack.
It could be the first time the main event has been won with Pocket Kings. And the River Car, the Queen of Clubs, will end the night.
It's the Mac Attack.
I said that I was going to hurt Manny Pacquiao. I'm going to retire Manny Pacquiao. And I want to be a man of my word.
What he says is it's not helping him, but it's helping me. Because that's giving me more motivation and work hard, like determination and focus. I like that.
I mean, I know he likes to quote Bible verses, so I'll let you know he's getting crucified.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell.
Oh, when I said I'm going to crucify the man, ooh, they said, ooh. It's almost as if they had a crown of thorns on them themselves. They felt it.
Based on my experience, I've been, like I said, more than 2 decades in the boxing. I've experienced all those hardest fights in life. Like when I fight De La Hoya, I fight Miguel Cotto, I fight Morales, Marquez, Hatton, Margarito, which is much, much taller than me. Nobody will intimidate me.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Go play basketball, Manny. You say you like to play basketball every day. Go shoot hoops with the guys, man.
After July 20.
Hey, let's go Las Vegas here on this Thursday. Time for the Mac Attack. I'm Ryan McKinnell. Got Nick Nice across the way. Stack Show coming up for you over the next hour. Truly, truly, we're going double guests today. For a couple reasons. Number one, we couldn't get him yesterday. He was busy. He was at a dentist appointment. Case Keeper from the Las Vegas Sun. He was out at the World Series of Poker, I think, through the majority of the main event. I feel like the guy's there every single year. He was there a couple nights ago when the 50th anniversary crowned its champion. Hossein Ensan getting $10 million. But what I want to talk to Case about was that wild rail. If you missed it, you had Italians and Germans going back and forth for 3-4 hours nonstop, like soccer chants, and it was wild. So Case can be coming up in about 15 minutes. And then, 2:30, I'll be joined by my buddy from SiriusXM. He is in town for Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman. He's going to be helming the post, or I should say pre-fight special for SiriusXM Channel 156, the Thurman and Pacquiao pre-show. That's going to be on Friday. We'll get the exact numbers when he gets in. But RJ Clifford going to be stopping by in about a half an hour to talk some Thurman and Pacquiao and fight sports in general. So I'm going to be talking to my pal RJ. He's going to be in studio, and then him and I are actually going to anchor MMA Tonight on Channel 156 from 3 to 5. So if you are a Sirius subscriber, a little plug for my other show on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Actually, Thursday isn't my show I'm filling in, but same thing goes for Wednesday. How you doing, Nick?
I'm all right. You?
Good. I saw the trailer for the new Top Gun movie, so I'm extra good.
Yeah, I'd heard, I think, about this, but it's still sinking in.
I had my doubts, right? The script had been in development for a very long time. It had been mixed around. People had dropped out. Cruise was attached to it, I believe, for the majority of it, but he never liked the script. Yeah, right. But we didn't know where it was going to go. There were rumors that it was going to be the death of dogfighting and drone warfare. We weren't sure. Well, the trailer dropped, and it looks like a good-ass, just good Top Gun movie. I didn't see any drones. You know how I feel about robots on this show.
Is Val Kilmer in this?
No Val Kilmer.
Yeah, because his health, I guess, isn't very good.
Yeah. But Tom Cruise is there looking 40 as usual. A guy has an age past 40. I guess that's what, you know, $500 million will do. And some voodoo.
Voodoo Scientology.
I was going to say voodoo Scientology. Selling your soul to the Mark Lars and the volcano guy. I don't know.
Praise to the numbers above and the aliens, the Umbop comets.
Yes, all that. All that good stuff. You got that Kool-Aid in the fridge? But I'm serious, man. I don't even care. He could be I don't know. I'm sure I do have a moral compass on some level. Like Tom Cruise could do something so egregious that I could never watch the new Top Gun. But we have not hit that limit yet. And I saw it, man. I don't want to ruin it. I know there's people out there listening that haven't seen it. I know people that don't like trailers because they don't want to have it spoiled. It definitely looks like they're capitalizing on the nostalgia for sure. At one point, they go inverted over a mountain. But here's what was great about the first Top Gun. We'll get to opening round. We'll actually talk some sports here. The original Top Gun was great because what? Pre-CGI. It was all actual stunts done with actual filmmaking in actual fighter jets. And this looks to capitalize on that. To follow up on that, I didn't see any CGI, and it looked nuts. I'm so ready.
I'm just still amazed of where we're at with life and movies.
I know, the redos.
Coming to America 2.
I know.
Top Gun 2.
It 2, the sequel to It just dropped last night.
Yeah. And then It 1. They couldn't, like, let's just bring back It again because we couldn't think of anything else. Original, Stephen King, come on, man. Crank out some books. Oh, like, what are they going to do? Pet Sematary here soon again? So.
I feel like you just named a Stephen King movie not knowing it had been remade. And I'm like, no, that was also remade.
Yeah. So
the Stand.
Just my point. And I hate going to the movies. I just recently saw.
We went over this.
Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
I saw it like 2 days before it was being pulled from the theaters. And there was still somebody in the back chomping away. And also with, I don't have any cellophane, but you know, the crinkling of the bag.
Someone get this guy on a watch list, man.
Dude, I seriously, after about 5-10 minutes of it, I had to like turn around and I was like, could you please be quiet back there?
Could you not like do normal things that normal people do during a movie?
Well, it just
could you not eat your food?
It's one thing to do it a little bit, but it's another thing to constantly be eating and the crinkling of the bags. All right, I'm done. I'm done. I hate going to movies in Vegas. I hate driving with you people, too.
Man. Well, at least you saw Endgame. What'd you think? Really?
Infinity War was better.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
You kind of knew what was going to happen with Endgame on some level.
Some level.
Because other movies were booked, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they had to wrap it up.
All right. That's right. So they had to wrap it up. But maybe they didn't. You need to see that new Spider-Man because it continues and it is a really good continuation, as I said. Great villain. All right. Enough of this. It's time for the opening round. Let's go.
It's the opening round. Finish him. Brought to you by VIP Collision.
You like to sing, Nick?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Don't always get the lyrics right, though, do you?
Clearly not.
Well, we went over with our pal Shaquille.
Yeah, that was so cool. I mean, I was so happy to tell him that I didn't know the words to his song from back in the day. How awesome is that to tell a superstar icon?
I didn't know what you were saying 25 years ago.
I had no idea what the hook was. I thought it had to do with basketball and carrying the rock, you know? I mean, come on, it makes sense.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Well, I mean, come on, it makes a little bit of sense.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. All right. I don't mean it was like, I would still say that my Palestinians calling the Palestinians Palace Indians is worse than you saying, can we rock? Is carry rock?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a basketball game. You're carrying the rock.
Exactly.
I get it. You wanted it to be something, and for 25 years, it was that until your reality came crashing down. Now, I'll give you a pass on that. What's Up, Doc? By Fushnikins and Shaquille O'Neal. It's not really a banger. It's not a tune that when you hear name that tune, you're like, I know that one.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm sure a lot of people don't remember that one.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game? That is a time-honored tradition here in America.
If you're like just from across the border or whatever border that may be,
or Mexico or Canada,
fresh off the boat, even,
yeah, sure.
I would think you would know that too. I mean, this is like,
I mean, I would hope so. Baseball's an international game, man.
Come on,
right? So, Matt Nagy, head coach of the Chicago Bears, you got this queued up because this is some good stuff. Matt Nagy was at Wrigley Field. Doing what you do at Wrigley Field in the seventh inning, you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And Matt Nagy was on point. My bald brethren, West Mannheim Township, Pennsylvania, shout out Eastern PA, the youngin. We love Matt Nagy around here, especially because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. And I love his singing. Check him out. Hitting those high notes. Take Me Out to the Ball Game over the Cubs game.
Cubs fan. Y'all ready?
Shouts out to the Bears fans.
Bears fans, you
ready? Yeah. Yeah, we are.
That was louder than the Cubs.
Of course it was.
Gary, you ready?
We were talking
and
football,
a one,
man.
A two, a three, take.
Oh, of
me
course.
Me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jack.
Wait, what?
Do you want to play that again?
Buy him some what?
Take me out with the crowd.
some peanuts.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Oh. Nick?
Yeah.
What did Matt just do?
To the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I think he missed the T.
I think he missed the T. Now, I will say this. People in Eastern PA, like, I can do a lot of accents. Like, we could go and I can jump into Chicago like that. It's not even that hard. It's not even that hard. You can sit here and do Chicago. I can do Chicago for an entire show. We're bringing up Case Kiefer here in about 6 minutes, right? We're going to be talking about the World Series of Poker. I can do that. That's no problem. But you ask me to go into Rosie Pennsylvania. You go into Pennsylvania Dutch? That Eastern PA, there's so, yeah, you say your W's like R's. I don't know.
Warsh.
Yeah, Warsh. It's very confusing.
Gotta wash my body.
So I want to give Matt the benefit of the doubt.
Gotta wash my peanuts.
You said peanuts. You did it the right way.
I didn't want to say it.
He said penis. He did.
He definitely did not pronunciate the T. Pronunciate, whatever. He did not make the T
right
very clear.
Now, Cofield just tweeted me about 3 minutes ago, hashtag fake news on Nagy, you heard what you wanted to hear. I don't know, Steve. I mean, there was no T in that.
It was peanuts.
Can you play that one more time? Can we just listen real hard for that T? I know we've heard it like 6,000 times now, but
some peanuts and
crackers. Yeah.
There's no tea. Peanuts.
No.
I mean, that's like about the closest it could be. Peanuts. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
You said the tea.
Peanuts and...
Yeah, it's a little closer. Why don't you say penis, dude?
Peanuts and...
Poor Matt Nagy. I'll tell you what, though. He led the game off with an absolute heater.
He was.
He nailed it.
He was bringing it.
Yes, he threw out the first pitch and he killed it.
I'm still getting over the fact that the Bears got the bigger ovation than the not hometown. Obviously, they're all hometown, but the damn home court, home field, well, whatever you want to say.
The NL Central is in a very serious race. No one knows if the Cubs are officially going to make the playoffs. One thing we do know is that it's Hope Springs Eternal with the Chicago Bears. A lot of people have them as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Favorites, but up at the top of the list. I believe Vegas has the most tickets on the Bears, or the second most tickets on the Bears, but the most money behind those tickets. I've inverted those. It's one or the other. Point being, a lot of people like the Bears. Now, it's also because they have a national fan base and people like to get hyped up about them, as you heard in the crowd. I, myself, am tapering my expectations because I am a Bears fan. And
double doink.
Dude, no need for that. Those words don't need to be brought up in this studio. My buddy Sam, I mentioned him a couple weeks ago on the show. He's down there in Indianapolis. He's a high school coach, but he's also been I don't know his title with the Indianapolis Colts, but he's been with the Colts for about 16 years. I don't know what he does over there, but he gives me cool stuff. When the Bears went to the Super Bowl and played the Colts, I got like a ball from the game and like gloves and stuff. Yeah, he does cool stuff with them. He's a good guy.
Nice.
He heard me talking about him, and I guess Parkey, Mr. Double Doink,
yeah,
was actually at Colts camp. He's like, you want me to try and get him for you? I was like, no. I was like, I don't. Because I don't trust myself
if
you bring Cody Parkey on my show for me to act like a professional. I'm sorry. I just, them's the facts.
Yeah, I could already see you now. So how does it feel?
To ruin my life.
To just twist the knife, buddy. Twist the knife.
I should mention, note locally, as we talk about the NFL. Nicely, I sit here and talk about the Chicago Bears the whole time. Oakland Raiders Stadium, which will then be, well, Vegas Stadium, or what are they called? They're calling it Raiders Stadium. We don't have a sponsor attached to it yet, so it's Raiders Stadium. It is 51% complete, according to Mick Akers.
Interesting.
Local business reporter down there, I believe, with Review Journal. So 51% on pace for a late July 2020 opening. So there you go.
I wonder if they found any dead bodies while they're digging up that site.
Too close to the strip.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. I like how we're all matter of fact. It's like, yeah.
Nah, it's too close.
Probably not.
Yeah. Go further, Johnny. A little further out.
The mountain's edge. You find some.
Yeah. Keep going to where now the homes are up and where I used to live.
Yeah, exactly.
Farm in Decatur and such.
Now that's where they find the bodies when they're making new houses. God, I love this city. Love this city. All right. Hey, you know, this is one thing that we haven't talked about on this show, and I'll be quick on it.
What time's your boy coming?
RJ's
bottom
coming.
Of the hour?
Yeah, RJ's coming at 2:30, and we got Case coming. Well, now, you know what? We're not going to have time to get to it. We're going to have to take a break. Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun was on hand for the World Series main event, and not just this year. He's been going for many years. So I wanted to reach out to him. Like I said, yesterday he was a little busy. We'll catch up with Case. We'll get his thoughts on the World Series of Poker and that wild, wild rail that was happening between the Germans and the Italians. Coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
If you want to fight, fight with me. 1-1. Man to man.
5, 4, 3, 2.
He said all in. Yeah. He did jam. And he gets a snap call.
Oh, wow.
This could be it right here.
The Mac Attack.
It could be the first time the main event has been won with pocket kings. And the river car, the queen of clubs, will end the night.
It's the Mac Attack.
That is correct. Hossein Ensan, a few nights ago, becomes the 50th winner the World Series of Poker. Well, not the 50th, because there's been some repeats in there. But he won the 50th incarnation of the World Series of Poker, walking away with $10 million. And to talk about that and the raucousness surrounding that main event, it's from the Las Vegas Sun. He was there covering the main event for, I think, the entirety of it. Case Kiefer. Case, what's up, buddy?
Hey, doing well. I feel like I have already learned something on your show. Obviously, I didn't get to watch the TV, so I didn't even realize that was the first time the main event has been won with pocket kings until I heard your bumper music. So, interesting.
Right? Yeah. That is kind of crazy to me. After 50 years, after 50 events like this, and here's the other thing. Not just kings, Case. Aces. Aces and kings have never won the World Series of Poker. Now, obviously, Ensan wins with the kings a couple nights ago. Why do you think that is? Do you have any theory as to why aces and kings never have won the series?
Just heads-up poker is just so... I mean, there's so many different hands you're playing, so there's just, such a huge... And take such a showdown to get all in. I mean, so it's not really shocking to me. It's just a little nugget I didn't hear. But I guess there's just so many possibilities that, you know, there's only been a relatively small 50 of these ever. So it's probably statistically even a little improbable for it to have happened once. But kind of cool that it happened this time.
For sure. We're here with Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun. You can check him out on Twitter at Case Kiefer, K-E-E-F-E-R. All right, Case, so we're talking about you kind of heard that nugget about the kings never winning or the aces never winning. Well, that's because you were actually there. And listen, we heard a lot on television, but I'm imagining there was plenty that we missed. Now, of course, I'm talking about the raucous rail that was happening between the Italians and the Germans, representing obviously their two players. Case, that was nuts. Was it as nuts live as it was watching on television?
Yeah, I honestly think live it might have been even more crazy. You know, I got to see a little bit of the television. I was running back and forth because, you know, obviously on TV you get to see the whole cards have a kind of different vantage point of what's going on. But, you know, I think it kind of went overboard at times. You know, there's always a lot of cheering, a lot of fans at the final table, but it's supposed to be restricted to not in between hands. I mean, I can remember one point vividly. I don't know if it got on the broadcast, but there was like a 90 million chip pot, and Dario Sammartino was facing it. Decision on the river, and that both rails just started going insane, which is like kind of against protocol. And even Hossein Ensan got a little frustrated and told his people to quiet down. So it was wild.
Yeah, that did make the broadcast, though. Just to let you know, that did make, and they even kind of talked about it on the broadcast. It needed to be done, but it also brought the mood down. Like, it was kind of an uncomfortable moment, but it needed to be uncomfortable because, but like, after watching that, right? Like you said, a $90 million hand, Case. All I could think about was, man, golfers better never complain again.
Yeah, that's true. I will say, a lot of people were turned off by it. I saw a lot of poker players speak out about it, and I did mention that, you know, Ensan, told him to quiet down. But I will say afterwards, both Sammartino and Ensan were both said they loved it, that they really enjoyed the environment. So I guess if they weren't overall bothered by it, then maybe we shouldn't have been as much either, but it was kind of a new phenomenon.
Yeah, whose rail was worse, the Italians or the Germans?
I would have to say the Italians for sure. It seemed like they outnumbered them. I mean, Dario Sammartino is a guy that's a little more well-traveled, been around the poker community a little longer, so I think he had a few more people, and that might have been the difference. Having that handful more people screaming and yelling and jumping up and down every hand.
Now, do you envision some point down the road? I mean, this obviously, you talked about it. Pros were mentioning it. Media was mentioning it. Do you envision the World Series of Poker doing anything for next year and kind of trying to rein this in so it doesn't... Yeah, listen, Ensign and Sammartino didn't have an issue with it necessarily. That doesn't mean a whole host of others wouldn't.
I don't think anything big or excessive. I think maybe one thing that'll be different is they might, you know, give a little bit more guidelines or, you know, talk a little bit about more what's acceptable at the beginning of the final table. I mean, really, I'd say overall this year it wasn't really that much crazier than other ones, but just like I said, the other ones, it felt like people kind of knew when was acceptable to be doing things and when you're supposed to be quiet. I think maybe they'll revisit that a little bit more before the start of next year's and kind of let everyone know kind of what the expectations are.
So what were your takeaways from this year's World Series of Poker, Case? Because I only watched, I think, the last 3 or 4 days, and what my main takeaway was watching Ensign hold on the way he did, specifically when he was heads up and he lost he ceded the lead and gave up a huge portion of his stack back to Sammartino. He really kept to his North Star and kept with that style of play. What did you see there, being on hand, being amongst the people, being amongst this event like you were?
Yeah, well, I think I've written this and talked about it a little bit, but I thought one thing that I think I'll remember when I look back on this final table is I thought it was pretty crazy, and usually you don't see it happen. I think the two best players got heads up. I mean, you came into the final table, Ensign and Sammartino were by far the most decorated of everyone at the final table. They had the most earnings, the most previous wins, and I really thought they played the best at the final table. I mean, Ensign was just getting hit by the deck over and over, so he ran pretty hot. But, I mean, Sammartino, for the vast majority of the final table, really wasn't getting the cards and just found a way to survive.
Yeah.
So, to me, I thought it was pretty cool to kind of see what I thought were the two best players go head-to-head, and a pretty good battle there before Jose and Son eventually pulled away and won it.
You know, I watch. I'm very much a casual watcher of the World Series. I try to watch every year. I every once in a while, if there's something big going on in a cash game, I got buddies who play, online, and they'll draw my attention to something. But I don't watch it that closely. I always, I always kind of hope that we're going to see an Ngannou or a Mortensen or some of these guys that have bigger names. I don't even know if Phil Ivey's still playing in the main. I have no idea what his situation is. Do you think we're past that, past the possibility of getting one of those massive, massive names when a main event bracelet? Because I would imagine on some level, Case, they're just, I don't know how interested they are in it when it's just such a crapshoot a lot of the time.
I think every year, I know maybe not the mainstream huge names,
right,
but Dario Sammartino, as far as him, I mean, he's one of the handful of, like, the best high-stakes players in the world, so anyone that's really into poker would have known him coming in. I mean, just last year, we had Joe Catta get to the final table, who had already won a main event before. It's really hard if you're, only knowing 10 or 20 guys, just the odds are so stacked against that happening, but I think every year there's a guy or two that, if you follow the thing a little bit, of, and I think that'll continue. I mean, it was just a few years ago, I think Daniel Negreanu, who you mentioned, came in 11th. He just missed.
Yeah.
And Phil Ivey did play this year, but he only lasted an hour, so to update you on that. But I think we'll see some big names and, at least one kind of recognizable face every year.
All right, so Case, and we're here with Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun. He's out there covering the World Series of Poker. Listen, Case, this is the World Series number 50. This is the 50th anniversary of the game. Yeah, I think back to Stu Unger, I think to Doyle Brunson, I think to all the greats, Amarillo Slim, all the ones that helped Chris Moneymaker, the names that helped build the first 50 years. What do you think happens in this next 50 years for this game?
Yeah, that's a big question, right? I think, one thing in this final table kind of illustrated this well is I think a lot of people think that poker is not as big as it once was kind of right after the moneymaker boom, and it just seemed to be everywhere in America. But the thing I think is underrated is just its growth internationally. I mean, there's just countries where this thing keeps getting bigger, and the final three at this year's final table that, played on Tuesday were from three different countries, Canada, Germany, and Italy. We had a run of Americans win before this year, but I would think going forward that it's going to be split more 50-50. I think there's going to be a lot of different countries getting more and more bracelets over the summers at wherever this is going to be held, if it's the Rio or somewhere else.
There you go. So we'll end on this. Hossein Ensign, he goes away. He wins $10 million. Did you hear anything about how he spent his time celebrating? Because that's something I'm always interested in.
I haven't heard anything about that, actually. I didn't. He's not a guy that's really active on social media. I feel like that's the way we usually find out what they've done. But he did say we were trying to get him to say what he was going to do with the money, and he said he needed a few days to drink beer and have fun before he decided that. So I'm sure he was celebrating somewhere.
I like it. All right, Case. Thank you so much for the time, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, that is Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun. You can catch him out there on Twitter at Case Kiefer, K-E-E-F-E-R. He's strong on a lot of things. He's a jack of all trades in many ways, so make sure to give him a follow, especially around World Series time, because that man is in it. Speaking of being in it, we had a very special in-studio guest joining us coming up next. He is RJ Clifford from Sirius XM, formerly of ESPN/SureDog. The man has written just about everywhere. He's talked just about everywhere. And the guy has more jobs in media than I can tell you about. If I told you about all of his jobs, I'd probably have to kill you. Lucky for us, he's coming up next here on the Mac Attack. Keep it locked. Yeah, let's go. Such a cruel summer. Let it burn. It's always very distracting to me. Always very distracting. I love the song so much. 106. Nick putting it up proudly. That's right. It is a cruel, cruel summer. Every single day, over 105 degrees, we are bringing Bananarama to the airwaves. Coming to the airwaves right now. One of my good friends, you can hear him on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156. His work is all over the media landscape. It's not just on Sirius. RJ Clifford. What's up, buddy?
Last week you had Shaq. This week you got me. What do you do next week? Tom Cruise? I mean, you've set yourself a very high standard here, Ryan.
We were actually talking about Tom Cruise to start the show. The new Top Gun trailer dropped.
Oh, my God.
It is incredible.
It is.
Did you see it?
Did I see it?
I'm white and I was born in the early 80s. Of course I saw it.
I was coming right out of a meeting for Fox PBC and I'm like trying to listen. I'm like turning the volume up when they're talking and down when the fighters are flying. I was like, I don't care if I'm interrupting this meeting. I have to see this. That was crazy. So great.
That's awesome. You talked about leaving the meeting for Fox. I kind of teased it. Like, you have so many jobs in media. It is ridiculous. Now, we've known each other a very long time. You and I are both cut from that same cloth. I think we're freelancers at heart. If a job is available, take the job. Never say no. You take that to a whole different level. Not only are you full-time at Sirius, you work for PBC on Fox,
yep,
and you also work for the UFC.
Correct.
Which is incredible because you also do a radio show, which to me is so interesting from the standpoint, that's a lot of juggling. Right?
It is. I mean, it's you look at it two ways. It's one's like, wow, everyone like actually like, wants to work with RJ, but on the other, you know, and I speak in the third person all the time, obviously. But the other side is,
even when you're not on the radio,
nobody wants to hire me full time either. So it's like, well, we want to dip our toes into the RJ pool, but we can't be fully responsible for this guy. So I just kind of part time everywhere. But when you're doing something like that's how I look at it. Like, I've had some terrible jobs in my day. Like, I sold roofing door to door. I sold shipping door to door. I worked a graveyard shift at a trucking company loading tankers. Like, I've had a lot of terrible jobs. And right. So now when someone offered me, hey, do you want to be a writer researcher for PBC on Fox? Or do you want to be a stage manager for
UFC? It's not selling roofing.
Like, if 23-year-old RJ had this job, he'd be doing backflips in the hallway saying, I'll do it for free. So, you know, I think that's the big thing is, you know, I've had some crappy jobs, and so I can't, like, doing another radio show, like, you know, I'm doing, you know, this with you, and then we have our show on Sirius, and then we're doing Caulfield Show later. Like, if I had any one of those opportunities 10 years ago, I'd lose my mind. Right. Why would I say no now? Like, the 23-year-old RJ still kind of runs my brain.
Well, that's important because that's what keeps that passion going, right? And you mentioned the show.
You never get bored. That's the other big thing, too.
Right?
Like, I've had 9-to-5s, even when I was editor of Tap Out Magazine. Yeah. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that job, but it's that, you know, 40, 50 hours a week, and it's the same desk, same routine. Not always the same routine, but kind of the same thing. You're like, you know what? Like, doing something different every day is what keeps it fun.
Absolutely. Now, you talk about her with RJ Clifford from Sirius XM and everywhere else. You talk about the shows we're doing today. You're actually doing, I believe, the pre-fight show tomorrow for Pacquiao Thurman, or am I mistaken?
The weigh-in show tomorrow.
Okay. That's going to be on Sirius?
No. That'll be Jimmy Smith and Jerry Cooney.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a part of that broadcast. No, it's Jerry.
It's Jerry.
It's Jerry Cooney and Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
I thought you were part of that. Okay.
No. They tried to make that work, but they got Jimmy and Jerry coming out. So what would I possibly? You have Jerry Cooney. What am I going to add to that broadcast? Right. Like this dude like fought for the heavyweight title.
Tell me more about heavyweight boxing, RJ Clifford.
Jerry, let me tell you what Pacquiao should do. All right, sit down, step aside. I've got this.
Shut up. There's an expert talking here. All right. So we're with RJ Clifford. We will get to Pacquiao Thurman here in a moment. We're also very excited about Top Gun because we're old, and that's just the way these things work, prying on our nostalgia. Normally, I don't like reboots, man. But
me neither. They look good.
You hate movies. Actually, you and Nick are kindred spirits. Nick hates movies. Nick does not go to movie theaters.
I would not say I hate movies.
You hate theaters.
I don't invest in movies.
You hate theaters.
I do.
Okay.
Well, that was, again, just how cheap I am. I was like, all right, when I got my, again, like 8 years ago, my 51-inch plasma and my surround sound, I was like, I'm going to rationalize this spending by saying I'm not going to go to a movie theater and pay $13 for a ticket and $12 for a soda because I can rationalize that. So that was my, you know, how cheap I think.
You could appreciate that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify, I don't hate movies. I hate going to the theater and being around all the schnapps.
We all love art. Yeah. We're all very highbrow here.
And I agree with RJ that, yes, if you invest in your home theater system, you got the 5.1, or if you're a really big baller, you got the 7.1, whatever it is, and you want to be at home. You know what I mean? You want to be able to hit pause or whatever and go get a beer or go do whatever else, you know, recreational.
Go do whatever else. Boy, whatever would you mean, Nick?
Do you guys still have to be coy about that now that it's legal in Nevada?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, marijuana. No, I don't.
Leisure, you're talking like fuzzy slippers in a bathrobe. Maybe it's my mind that's going to the wrong
place. Recreational. Yeah. We're just very recreational fellows around here.
My bad.
Yeah, that's all.
The only benefit of going to a movie theater is the satisfaction of knowing you snuck booze into the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's just like you're just taking money out of their pocket that they try to take out of yours.
That brings me to a great question. What's the craziest thing you guys have respectively ever snuck into a movie theater?
A 30-pack of beer.
A 30-pack?
Between three of us. I brought in 9. My buddy brought in 8. My other buddy brought in 7. So we all wore hoodies. And so we put like, you could put like 3 in those pockets. I think I had cargo shorts on.
I'm just imagining the cracking of 30 beers throughout a movie. Yeah.
And then
every 6 minutes,
2 in my hood. In the pocket of the hood.
Genius.
I was able to sneak in 9 beers. We were walking like, you know, they were kind of warm and I was walking funny.
Open them carefully.
We brought 30 beers into a movie theater.
Do you remember the style of beer?
Keystone? I don't remember anything after drinking 9 of those beers.
Nick?
Well, I was picturing, he said 30 beers. So I'm picturing, wait, how does this work? I'm thinking, you know, he's bringing in the case.
He said three guys.
I could just imagine three men and a little lady. But no, like 3 guys pushing in a cart, a stroller, a baby stroller. Mm-hmm. I had that
envisioned. Sir, what's in there? It's a baby. It has AIDS. Don't touch it.
Don't touch my baby. Us 3 fathers. We're the 3 dads. Leave the baby alone.
We're super
alone.
Progressive, all right? Stop giving us weird looks.
Yes. Don't look at it. We're very protected. Don't look at it.
No, I can't top that. It would probably be just like two tall boys.
Yeah, I brought in a 20-piece nugget back in the day. Remember when they had supersize?
Yeah.
So I brought in a 20-piece nugget, sweet and sour, supersize fry, supersize drink. That was my claim to fame. You know what movie it was?
How long ago?
96. It was Evita.
Evita?
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Is that Madonna?
Shout out Casey Underlee, my very first kiss. I snuck in a 20-piece nugget and got my first kiss that night.
Priorities.
It's like 2 of the 5 best moments of a young man's life right there.
Especially for a fat kid.
Yeah, right?
I mean, from multiple fronts. And the fact that I got kissed and the fact that it was a 20-piece nugget. There was a lot going right that
Did
day
you
for
dip
me.
Dip her lips into the sauce, too?
No, but I really should have. No, I don't even like food and sex mixing, but that, I mean, I'll go anywhere with sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, thank you. Sweet and sour.
I mean anywhere.
Here with RJ Clifford from Sirius XM. All right, RJ, I know it. The listeners don't know it, but I know you are a huge Oakland Raider fan. Huge Oakland Raider fan. Back to the LA days. You are from Long Beach. You've never frayed or swayed from your allegiance. You have always been a Raiders fan. Now they are coming to Las Vegas, which is great for you.
I got it right the first time. Why would I sway away?
You know? Well, also, it keeps just... You went to college in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. which worked out for you, right? You went to, what, San Francisco State?
Correct.
Right. Wrestled there. So that's not that bad for, even though I know you feel a certain way sometimes about the Bay Area, we'll leave that alone, right? So they were in LA, then they were in where you went to college. Now they're in the place that you love more than life itself, maybe more than your wife or your upcoming kid. I'm not sure. You love Las Vegas. Now the Raiders are coming here. How stoked are you?
It's awesome. Like, people are saying, well, can you root for the Raiders if they leave California? I'm like, they're 3 hours closer to me than they were in Oakland. Like, why? Like, why would I be mad about this? I'm in a place where I'm, you know, either for work I'm here six times a year, certainly for play I'm here as often as I can get. I'm here for 5 days this time, so I'm amazed my kidneys haven't exploded yet.
You do look kind of puffy today.
I made the right decision last night.
Look at me talking about people looking puffy. What an ass. RJ, you're looking kind of swollen today. Yeah, Ryan? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you're as curvy as ever, Ryan. As
Rotund.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Like, this is the thing with the Raiders, and maybe I'm just being smug because I've been a fan for so long, but I feel like anything west of the Rockies is sort of Raiders turf in a lot of ways. Like south of Seattle, west of Denver.
I was going to say, you do have to compete with the Broncos.
You get like Utah, New Mexico. That's, you know, there's a pretty big, you know, they've got the Mountain West region locked up.
I would agree, to a point, yeah.
Anything west of that, really anything like west, southwest, like northwest of that, is you could put you could move the Raiders there and they'll be right at home. You know, you could put them in San Diego and they'd be at home.
They would. But there's something special about the outlaw nature. Mm-hmm. Al Davis, just win, baby. The history that is the Raiders, Jack Tatum, Ken Stabler, all that stuff. And then you look at what Vegas is as a city. Vegas is an outlaw city. It went against the grain from its inception. It's never quite fit in.
It was full of Raiders fans before they knew they were Raider fans.
Right. Absolutely. And I've made the case that, you know, Vegas in many ways is like, you know, you talk about the Cowboys being America's team. It's like, I think the Raiders have a real chance when they really relocate to Las Vegas to take over that mantle because of what Las Vegas means to so many households across this nation. Your sister came here for her 21st. Your cousin got married here. You came here for your 24th. Your parents, your first set of parents got married here. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a draw to this city in almost no other way that any other city can claim. Like, you say Vegas, it evokes a certain type of thought, an image, a feeling inside you. Mm-hmm. You say Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, I just don't, and they're great cities. They just don't have that same type of universal appeal to the vast majority of Americans.
The Raiders have this this kind of gravitational pull. Like, you look at the other 31 NFL teams and it's so localized, right? Like, the Bears are so Chicago. The Niners are so Bay Area. The Dolphins are so Miami. The Raiders, it's like, obviously they're very much Oakland. They're very much Los Angeles when they were here. But there's also just a general aura about that franchise that you don't really get otherwise. Like, people are attracted to, like you said, that outlaw nature, that just win, baby. Just kind of that, for lack of a better word, aura about the Raiders that you don't have to, like, you can be a fan without going to the game as a kid with your dad or civic pride specifically. Like, it's not civic pride for me at all. You know, I'm a Raiders fan because I went to my first game when I was 8 years old in Los Angeles and said, and this is basically the whole game. Oh, wow, that was a good play. Oh, look, there's a fight. Oh, wow, that's a good play. Oh, look, that Mexican guy is getting stabbed. And I was like, this is the team for me. This is awesome.
The man who loves chaos.
This is it. Like, this is like you said, the outlaw nature. Like, you can be attracted. How do people become fans of NFL teams? Either from the area or a specific player went there.
I was
going
to say specific player.
Specific player went there.
So for you, was it Bo Jackson?
It wasn't a specific player. It's never been about players for me. That's the thing. I think the Lakers are this. I think the Lakers and Raiders are both that way, where I think the franchise, I think, trumps the players that were there. Right, like you obviously become attracted to it.
I was gonna say, you bring up the Lakers. I mean, there's never been a shortage of great players. It went in from Magic straight into Kobe, now essentially into LeBron.
Exactly, but it's like, and obviously you pick your favorite player and you have a special attachment. Yeah. But I think, like, if Kobe would have traded, you know, but have been traded from the Lakers, you know, before that's his last two seasons, the Lakers fans went in droves. Ignored the Lakers and went to wherever Kobe went.
Right.
There's no way. Like, no one did that when Shaq got, you know, traded. They stuck with the Lakers. I think you see that a lot of times with other franchises and other sports. Like, oh, my favorite player's been bouncing around, I'm going to go with him. You just don't get that with the Raiders, really, because your attachment to the Raiders is the Raiders.
Yeah, and I imagine that's exactly going to happen when they move here to Las Vegas. Speaking of Las Vegas, the stadium just announced today, we mentioned it to start the show, courtesy of Mick Akers, 51% complete. They just passed the halfway point on schedule for a late July opening.
That in and of itself is amazing.
Not this July, I should say. I'm saying late July, opening yeah, right? Yeah, not,
in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Come down, break the champagne bottles.
They'll be 49% done.
A year from today. Yeah, year from this month, I should say.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, just the fact that they're able to do it on time.
Yeah.
Like that alone is kind of crazy. Yeah. You know?
Have you been watching it go up when you come into town?
Yeah, like sometimes, depending on what, you know, what flight I get, you can kind of see it on the airplane as you go through. And,
it's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's what's the vibe like here in Vegas? Like, is it as big? Is it feel like when the Knights first came?
No,
bigger, smaller.
Smaller.
Because the Knights were the first ones.
Yeah.
So your first real pro franchise is special.
I think it's smaller from this standpoint. As we talk about the NFL, right, and we talk about the monster that it is and the allegiance that people have, that's going to be really tough to overcome. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people like me that are going to be, you know, they're not. I mean, I take sports very seriously. I mean, I've ripped shirts off. I've broken things. I've, you know, spent a lot of money
and
supporting
that's just
my
this
teams. Yeah, exactly. So I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but like I don't take sports that seriously to where I can't appreciate a team like the Oakland Raiders coming to Vegas to where I'm not going to be excited. Granted, it helps that there's an NFC-AFC split.
Yep.
That definitely, that like if I was a Chiefs fan, like I can't, or if the Packers were moving here, I would just have to be like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm never going to want to see them do well.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact because they're our biggest rival, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the Raiders, I'm super excited, but I think a lot of other people, we talked about the Broncos. Listen, there are a lot of Broncos fans here. There are a lot of Seattle fans here. There are a lot of Chiefs fans here. And then a lot of them just aren't like me. They're just super allegiant to their show their allegiance to their team and that's it. Now maybe they change. Maybe they, hey, it's fun. You know, it's not what I thought it was. Maybe they had preconceived notions about the Raiders and their fan base. I'm not sure. It just feels a little less because people have allegiances to other teams. I think everyone's excited about it.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, you look at the stadium, you're talking national titles, you're talking Super Bowls, you're talking Rolling Stones Stadium.
I think everyone's thinking financial too.
Yeah,
like if I'm in construction, if I'm like whatever. I sat next to a guy on the plane ride here who does like giant corporate buildings, the plumbing for him. And he's just like, yeah, I'm in Vegas all the time. That stadium is changing everything. All like the infrastructure that needs to be built around a stadium to support those big things. Like I think everyone's thinking that. But yeah, I think you're right. Like the grassroots of it is, you know, great they're here because, you know, every time the Chiefs come to town, I can go watch them.
Absolutely.
You know, it's basically like when the Chargers moved to Los Angeles. It's just like, oh, sweet. The Raiders are coming to town once a year. No, that's great. I think my grandpa said it best talking about like the Lakers and Clippers in Los Angeles. He said, there's no such thing as a Clippers fan. Only LA imports that refuse to root for the Lakers. And so I think maybe there's going to be like a version of that in Las Vegas because, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you can jump on the Raiders bandwagon. Or if you're not really an NFL guy, you can jump on there. If you're a young kid and you're kind of first getting experience of it. But yeah, I don't see the Raiders moving here converting a Chargers, Chiefs, or Broncos fan.
No, but I think it's just...
Even like a Steelers fan, you know what I mean?
Not going to convert them, but just getting them to drop that shield, right?
Yeah.
And to kind of appreciate what's happening, which is the birth of... Mm-hmm. The Vegas Raiders. I know they're already a franchise, but it's exciting. Also, I think, you know, let's revisit this in May of next year when we're 2 months away from the opening of the stadium. I think that once it gets that black glass, once it gets that eternal flame, once it takes shape, like in a real way, I think people are probably going to get more excited because it'll be more of a reality. Right now, it's just, you know, bones.
It's not a civic pride thing because it's not a true Vegas franchise like the Knights that were born here.
Exactly.
It's like it's a civic. This is my city. This is my only real pro team, essentially, you know.
Yeah, we actually had a celebrity softball game, the Battle for Las Vegas. It was led by your pal Marcus Allen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know Marcus.
We go way back.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Marcy?
Well, me and Shaquille.
Yeah,
right. So Marcus Allen led a team for the Raiders, and the Knights were led by Riley Smith and a host of. I mean, pretty much all the Knights were there. But I wasn't there. But from everyone I talked to, the Knights were. The fan favorite. And understandably so. I mean, it's going to take time to bring in a franchise like the Raiders and expect people to be excited on some level. And then again, it's going to be a sellout every single night for years. I don't know how long that grace period is going to last, but
I think forever
it's
just
gonna be very popular.
Just the casinos, right?
That,
like they're going to buy 30,000 season tickets, give them to the high rollers, right? Like, isn't that.
And the tourism, man. I mean, eight games a year. That's not a lot. As soon as those teams are announced, so you're going to obviously get your AFC West teams, right? And then whatever that other part of the schedule is, whether it's NFC East or Central North, whatever it may be, right? Those tickets are going to go so fast because, I mean, if you're from Chicago and they're playing Vegas in early December. Like, what? What a better excuse to get out before the holidays and come to Vegas. I mean, it's just, it's a built-in excuse.
How much do you think winning is going to play a role into how Vegas grabs or gravitates towards Raiders right away? Like, the first three seasons, do you think winning or losing is going to make no difference?
No, absolutely not. Winning always matters in Las Vegas. So it would.
How big of a difference?
That's a hard question to answer. But it is going to help a lot if they come out and they go 13-3, 12-4.
God, that would be amazing.
Vegas. The Raiders fan. You're just, your eyes got all big. You're like, yes, please.
I'm like, oh my God.
Well, hey, man. I mean, to a large extent, you've put up with a lot there. It's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of chaos.
One winning season since I was in high school.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Is that actually the stat?
Yep.
No way.
Yep. They had an 8-8 season. It's that one playoff year when Derek Carr broke his leg in the last game of the year. That was second to last game of the year. That's the only winning season since I was in high school.
Wow.
They went to the, I lied. My freshman year of college is when they went to the
Super
Bowl.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is my teen years, since I was a teenager. All right.
I was going to say, yeah. Wow. Rich Gannon.
16 years. Yeah.
I was actually the first game that new Soldier Field opened, the Alien Toilet Bowl out there on the Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. They opened against the Packers. I think it was on Sunday Night Football. The next game was against Gannon, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, the defending Super Bowl team that was the Oakland Raiders. Yep. Paul Edinger and the Bears kicked a game-winning field goal to win that game. I'll never forget that, actually. Remember Barrett Robbins, the guy who missed the Super Bowl because of mental health issues?
Yep.
I was in best seats I've ever had for a Bears game. I was 40-yard line. Two rows behind the Raiders bench. There was a Bears fan with a giant thing of pills shaking it in Barrett Robbins' ear saying, "You forgot your pills, Barrett! You forgot your pills!" And I was just like, I've seen the most vulgar. And so when people talk about like sporting teams or like regions or like this team's the worst, it's like, no, you're all terrible. I've heard more N-bombs and racism and just like making fun of someone's mental health and potential suicide. Like, guys.
If you're a fan and if you can give your team a 0.1% advantage, right? Let's say that guy shaking the pills.
Yeah.
He got to him just enough where he was 3% not as effective.
Hey.
You do it. I say you do it. You drop whatever vulgar term you have. You be as low as you want to. This is war, baby. Like, imagine, like, as a fan, right? You think you have every effect. But
no
you think
line.
You have no effect.
No line.
If you can get yourself, it's why I like it, trash talk and fighting, right? If I can say anything I want, because there's nothing I can say that's worse than punching somebody in the face, right?
I don't know, man. Like, what if they got like a dead kid? And you talk about their dead
kid. And they don't play well, and they drop, and they fumble three times in the game. Hell yeah, you bring up Dead Danny or whatever that kid's name is.
You bring up his actual name.
You bring it. You do whatever it takes to give yourself an advantage.
Did you guys watch the College World Series at all?
Uh-uh.
There was a Vanderbilt whistler. A guy in the crowd, apparently.
I remember hearing about that.
He
yeah.
is a famous fan.
Is this gimmick?
Out at Vanderbilt College. And yeah, that's his gimmick. That's his shtick. He's been doing it for years, but it became a nuisance during the College World Series. And ESPN, I guess people approached him and told him to be quiet and he was going to get kicked out and such like that. So he was tormented. He even contacted his friends back home and he was like, "I don't know if I should whistle anymore."
It's a First Amendment issue.
Right?
You can't tell me to not whistle. This is America.
But if it's giving your team an advantage, it's in play.
If
you're just doing it for the attention, it's just lame.
But that's what he was doing it.
Yeah.
He was doing it to cause problems to the other batters and such. And, you know,
it's like a good swing.
Yeah. I will draw the line of the guy that got fined for shooting the laser pointer at Tom Brady's eyes.
Yeah.
That's crossed the line because you're physically affecting the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that one. But just, I'm allowed to yell. I spent $130 for this seat. I can say what I want.
My 14th birthday party, 1997, my mom surprised us and took us to a water park first, and then we went to an Orioles-White Sox game.
Doubleheader. Wow.
No, we went to an Orioles-White Sox game, and I'll never forget, we would always move up in our seats. It's a White Sox. You do it. We went to a game. Yeah, you do it. Yeah, we did. That's right.
You were in the dugout before you knew it.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, exactly. I was sitting with the players.
They'll let you pinch hit if it's a blowout.
I'll never forget. Albert Bell, I think, was batting third. third, and he had to have been because he wasn't batting second, or and Frank wasn't batting fifth. So Albert was batting third, and we had just got him, I believe, and Frank Thomas was in the batter's box. And I just remember, I don't remember what we were saying. It was me and all my friends, but we were screaming obscenities at Albert Bell. We hated Albert Bell, and it's fat boy this, and I know, again, the optics of that, hilarious. So yeah, and I'll never forget Frank Thomas turning over like the side of his shoulder and just kind of smiling. If so you, apparently he didn't like him either.
If you gave your team a 1% advantage with that, then you did your job as
a fan.
Wait,
we're out of here? Oh my God. We didn't even get to talk about Pacquiao and Thurman. Okay, the good news is you're going to be on Cofield and Company at 5:30.
Yep.
So you will be able to talk to the people of Las Vegas about Pacquiao and Thurman.
Can't. The hype has been getting to me this week.
Yeah.
It really has. The odds flopped.
I can't. What is it now? Pacquiao's the underdog?
Thurman's now the underdog.
Okay.
He's like a plus 150.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh, wow.
It's
amazing.
Going higher.
I was plus 105 last time I checked. This is incredible. So you can talk more about that. 5:30, going to be on Cofield and Company. We are out. We'll see you in 24 hours, friends. Mac Attack. I don't need the money just to say that I'm rich.